This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, dude, I've got this truckload of leftover turkey. Where can I drop it?
Over there, in the media corner.
Yeah.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I'm Chuck.
And I am Craig. Hello.
You know, there used to be a time during that intro where we just kind of sit and talk to each other. No, yeah. I'm clicking here and I'm poking there and I'm uploading this and doing that. This is getting harder.
Is it getting harder?
It's getting more fun.
Oh, really? Good. I thought it was going to be time to retire.
This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for Wednesday, December 2nd, 2009, a date which I'm sure will live in infamy. No, wait, no, that won't
work. Why would that be?
December 2nd, 2009. Oh, isn't that the day that the Japanese attacked Pearl? Never mind.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. I know there's a lot of people that are joining us from the recent Technorama Twitter telethon, marathon, whatever you want to call it. Welcome aboard. I hope this is a wonderful relaxation if you're catching us live on the streaming thingy. Technical. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, don't get too technical, everybody. You're going to start offending.
I want to dumb it down for all the new people who aren't that technical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did I search for on Twitter? Science. Sci-fi. I'm sure they're plenty technical. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. You know the drill. You know how badly this can go. We appreciate you giving us your time.
As evidence here.
Like I said, there's lots of things going on behind the scenes. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. This is so much more fun when I participate in other people's podcasts. Like, I listened to Stu Helm do the IMP on, what was this, Thursday, I think it was? Wow, this is great. I can just sit back and listen. I don't have to do anything. Jump into the chat room, have some fun there. Before we proceed, I want to remind you that this show is brought to you by GoToAssist. You can try GoToAssist free for 30 days. It's the wonderful tool that lets you do remote diagnostics. Notice I put it up on the live stream screen, too. How cool is that?
Did you?
Yeah.
Maybe I should look.
I got some graphics to throw in here between the segments. Having way fun with this. Remote diagnostics. You can see what's on the other person's screen, Windows or Mac, multiple sessions, live chat, uploads, downloads, cats and dogs living together. It does everything. Well, almost everything. But it sure makes things a lot easier because I know this is the time of year when you start bumping into relatives and friends and they go, oh, you know computers. Well, mine does this when I do that.
I'm like, are you drinking down at the parties?
How's it going?
Got a story for you. My computer.
You're at my house, I got a computer problem.
You don't have to put up with all those people. You can deal with them remotely with GoToAssist. You can try it free for 30 days, and December would be a wonderful time to try it. Yeah. GoToAssist.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. You like that?
I like it a lot.
I love it.
Yeah.
We want to... See, I'm busy clicking and tweaking and doing things. Lost track of where I was.
Don't be starting flipping around those webcams, man. You're starting to scare me.
This is the new over-the-shoulder webcam. Much clearer picture than last week.
Looks like a control room of CNN.
They wouldn't let me do that on CNN.
No.
That's because I got a couple extra monitors from the last couple of weeks. It's more fun. I can see everything. All right, coming up on this episode of Technorama, we've got great computer ads from the 80s, robots with lightsabers, and a Roomba takes on a snake. Guess who wins? We'll tell you much.
Robots are everywhere.
Later.
Robots everywhere.
Looking to add another security podcast to your daily commute? Listen to the Securibit Show. We combine intelligent, drunken debate with the latest news in the information security world. Check us out at www.securibit.com, as well as on iTunes by searching for Securibit. Remember, Securibit before it bites.
This is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
All right, before we proceed any further, I want to introduce the team.
Yay!
This section used to be just labeled follow-up, but I didn't realize we weren't following up on much.
No, so well, it used to be, but no, that was a long time ago.
We introduced the team because it takes a team to do this show, and it wouldn't be much without our wonderful chat room and the theme that they provide us every week. They change their handles all around just to make life interesting.
Yeah, that cabinet doesn't open the right way anymore. Those kind of handles. Oh, you mean their name handles? Oh, they're all backwards.
Real fine Corinthian leather. In the chat room, we've got AD Overstuffed, Ben Vaughn, Claudio Soful M, Captain Leftovers, Deb Drup, Douglas Welch, Geek Cred, Mad Marv, Nightstar, Rev Chumley.
What? Hey, Rev, what's
dog?
Up? Give me a
Soul
Testify.
Blaze. And Tim Turkey Hash.
Hey, what's up?
These are all the we got leftovers in the chat room. Yeah,
considering Thanksgiving was like a week ago, maybe we should ditch the stuff. Hey, you know, we got so fed up with turkey and everything, we actually went out to Chinese. Then
I made pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
Oh, someone in the chat room should change their name to "What's that moldy stuff in the back of the fridge?"
Yeah. Oh boy!
It's turkey surprise. Yay. What's the surprise? That's it. We don't know.
No.
Turning to the birthday calendar, looks like December 2nd is Ben Frixell from the Mac Mania podcast.
Yeah.
And on December 6th, Super Moon Man. So happy birthday to you both.
He's hanging out with Duff Man.
Is he drinking his Moondew? No, what did we call that? Moondrop.
Moondrop, yeah. Super Moon Man.
He's drinking Super Moondrop. Happy birthday to you if you didn't make it on the calendar this time around. Add your name to the birthday calendar. We'll give you a shout out when we can. When it comes around, chuckchat.com/wiki. It's
hey, Claudio
really
got skipped
simple.
Over. He must have been changing his
what?
Handle in the middle.
No,
he skipped over. He said Claudio is so full of him.
Yeah, we didn't skip anybody's name.
Yeah, never mind. You just go back to the chat and in the chat room.
If you happen to be around on Sunday nights, we'd love to see you there in the chat room, and you can watch us live both at the same time. It's very scary because we think
in
we're
3D.
Talking to each
see,
other.
Look at there. It's in 3D.
It's in HD.
Yeah. Technorama brought to you in 1080p.
We don't need any P.
We don't define the P, but it's 1080 something.
All right. There's 1080 bits of goodness for you.
Sure.
All right, should we look at the news?
Let's do.
Good news, everyone!
Well, I guess you could call this good news. Our texting thing keeps going. Texting and driving. I think everybody's in agreement that it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And
I threw this in there because of all of our discussion, and I noticed that in Raleigh, North Carolina, of course, they passed a law. That's where the state capital is. They passed a law, and December 1st, it goes into effect that it's illegal to be texting or reading email or doing anything while driving. Fines could be up to $100. Really? That's it?
Any other news? $100, they ought to make it like $100 the first time, $500 the next time, and $1,000 or $5,000 the third time. You got to hit them where it hurts. People are just going to keep doing this. I mean, yeah, $100 is an inconvenience. I wouldn't like it, and it might incent me to stop, but I wouldn't be texting and driving in the first place.
No, so just it says, talking to your GPS.
It says it only applies while the vehicle is moving, and also people exempt from this are police officers and other safety officials. Hmm. And one of the comments was not too happy about that because they've got guns too.
Yeah. Don't be texting while holding a gun. Oh well. Anyway, I thought it was a pretty good idea, and I agree that it's probably something that shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be doing much like watching a movie, you know, or
not a good idea.
No.
Do we have any other not a good ideas?
Hacks and strange stories.
We got plenty of those.
We got plenty of not good ideas.
Oh, by the way, I like the graphic on the stream.
You like that?
Hey, it's nice and red. Hey, baby.
Shiny.
You should see the woman that wears that.
Stop.
A pair of high-tech roller skates.
Let's get our little camera streaming thing. Top Gear, the British television show, has created an electric vehicle.
Really?
Top Gear team builds EV, shows how complex car production really is. The presenters of Top Gear, among the finer specimens of the British television talent, were this past week engaged in designing and building an electric vehicle purportedly intended to compete with the likes of the Chery Volt. Set a time limit of a mere 18 hours, they produced a marvel of rushed engineering and shoddy workmanship you see above.
Well, no wonder it's difficult.
It's about the size of a Mini. Looks like it's made out of, the door is plywood.
Yeah. Well, it's like a poor, it does look like a poor man's Cooper Mini.
It's all boxy. It looks like it was made out of some ramshackle shack or... I don't know what it's got like really
that
thin
box
gauge,
on the top
unpainted sunroof
skylight. I didn't watch it. Did you watch the clip?
I saw this picture and just fell out of my chair when I saw that.
I like how the bumper's on little springs.
Can't do much better than that.
Well, they got a tag on it. Is that legal?
I guess you'd have to. I mean, it's got lights. It's got a bumper. The bumper looks like it's held on with bed springs.
That's what I was saying. The bumper's on springs on there, some heavy gauge springs.
Wow. Never mind that.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, as promised. Yeah.
Check it out. If you can see that picture, but beyond the driver is like a green lawn chair. Yeah. Like a plastic lawn chair you'd buy at Home Depot or something?
Whatever works. Four wheels and headlights and a steering wheel.
Hey, it looks like my first car.
You were lucky.
I had a 78 Honda Civic. It looked a little rounder, but about the same. Interesting.
Other fun we've got, a Roomba, you know, the little robotic vacuum cleaner thing.
Yes.
Saves a child from a deadly viper.
Awesome.
We've always known that the Roomba was something of a badass. iRobot, after all, has quite a reputation within the defense industry. So we weren't surprised when one of the autonomous vacuum cleaners took down a certain Vipera, who looked like it said Palestinian, but I'm leaving the Latin to you. A venomous snake found in Middle East. How's that?
Well, okay.
Palestinian. Yeah, I'm pretty close. Palestini.
Okay, you can figure that out later. Let's keep going.
Considered a leading cause of snake bites within the geographic range, the snake was found mangled around one of the robot's rotating brushes. When Eli and Ephi, Frida, returned to their home in Galilee, which they share with their two children aged 4 and 7, as well as several cats and dogs. That was very important for the story. We were lucky, said Eli. If the snake would have hid in the house and bitten one of our children, it could have ended badly. That's usually what happens when a poisonous snake bites you, but I'm getting a Roomba to keep the snakes out of my house.
I'll take two. That's cool. Hey, I want to know if any of our listeners have a Roomba, because I've tried to talk my wife into it. She's like, we don't need a Roomba to clean the floors. I'm like, why would you not want something to clean the floors while you sleep at night?
No doubt.
You know, but
robots
are
awesome.
I want to see if anybody's got one. Huh?
Except robots are awesome, except these ones that are using lightsabers.
I know. Jeez.
From Gizmodo, the title is Now They're Teaching Robots to Use Lightsabers. The International Robotics Exhibition 2009 is underway in Tokyo, and Yaskawa is again showcasing its Moto Man robots. We've seen how dexterous previous models were in RoboChef demonstrations, but it seems they've now got the taste for the Force. Wait, can't resist. Where is it? There. The choreographed moves are more cute than intimidating, but seriously, maybe we'll see lightsaber droids one day after all.
No, I don't want to see them coming at me.
Roger, roger. What does this thing do? Now we can hack off our own heads.
Well, that's all the other one doing Tai Chi, and then they said, oh, look, now they're teaching him to fight with swords. Now they got lightsabers.
Honestly, now, you've watched the Clone Wars, right? You've seen the battle droids in the movies.
Yes.
They all have this bad sense of humor and commentary. Is that really the most effective way for robots to communicate between each other?
Better him than me. don't leave me out here.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's scared.
Hey, looks like I'm in charge of the ship now.
So because Grievous just bailed on you.
Yeah.
Because it's about to blow up.
You've been promoted. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, just teaching them to use lightsabers. It's just seems like we're going down. This is how Skynet started, you know, in the Terminators. Did we not see the end of Battlestar Galactica? Anybody? I think it's coming true.
That's right. Kate Vernon's coming for us all.
Yeah.
And speaking of sexy geeks.
Yeah.
Over at geeksaresexy.net. Who sent us? Is this Michelle's? No, I found this on a Twitter feed. Twitter stream on giant electronic billboard fail.
Even though it seems
like a great idea, putting a live Twitter stream on a giant electronic billboard is just something that could put some people into really deep trouble, as shown by the picture below. Yeah. It's got local three. Okay, so left and right half of this wide LCD or LED billboard, like the kind that are going up all over the place. Mm-hmm. And on the left half, looks like three professionals, like your news team at 10 kind of thing. And on the right is a live anchors. Twitter feed. It says, three accused of gang rape in Monroeville.
And there they are.
You gotta wonder if somebody put that up on purpose or not. I'm glad somebody got a picture of that. That's just something.
Fail.
Yeah.
That's our news fail of the night.
Yeah, I wonder if those three people are still on the news going,
In the news tonight, wait, where's our picture up there? Take that down.
Can we back that up a bit? All right, I have another graphic. It's time for Remember When.
Cool.
The part of the show where we look at strange and interesting stuff from the past.
Oh, look at there.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? No. Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? No. Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage?
Maybe.
Technorama remembers.
And Technorama remembers, well, okay, I honestly don't remember this first one.
Tell the truth.
Our first story is the internet's first router, or router, as they would say in the UK. This is from dumpert.nl. Apparently, the router was made out of old Honeywell parts. It's in a huge cabinet rack, 19-inch rack thing. And it's got like 8 or 10 LEDs and toggle switches on the front.
Wait, we saw this at the Computer History Museum.
No, we didn't see this one.
Maybe not this one, but
we saw Cisco's first router. We didn't see he's claiming this is the first router. It didn't have any of the modern protocols, obviously. But he's opening this thing up. This is at, was it UCLA? And he said, we've got several people are bidding for it to get it. Like the Computer History Museum is interested in getting this in their collection, but they must want a ton of money for this thing.
Well, they've got, and I'm telling you, there's something similar. I've got a picture up close of these buttons, and it looks just like this.
Maybe it was the second one. Or maybe this video is old and they got it already.
Yeah, or something very similar, of course. Yeah.
Hey, where's my audio? Oh.
And so these switches continue to improve, higher speed, more functionality, much more storage.
He says, here's the power supply. The things
run today's internet.
Like
half of the batteries. Look like.
First router. Exactly.
That's it looks like the size.
Well, first router. And they were going to throw this machine away, and I managed to salvage it. And here it is right next to my office.
Keeps me warm at night.
I've had routers do that for me.
Here it is in
when I used to sleep in the server room. Mine.
It's not heralded. It's not.
It is a small office.
Showcase. Yeah.
It should it be is. A I wonder, shrine for this country. And it will
they still use it today.
Shortly, but at the moment, and for the last 39 years,
hey,
it's
Chuck.
Been kept in,
yeah.
in hiding.
Let's will. Move on.
I want him to tell who's after it.
Oh.
All right. Never mind that. We
Look,
got one
a phone.
More.
And
it,
let me show
it
you
does
the first
have a
IP phone.
Phone. It did have a phone because it used a number of dial-up connections bonded together to make approximately 50 kbps, which is oh, you know God. Like a modern modem, 56k baud
Gosh,
modem.
How could you download torrents with that?
Yeah, between the first two machines.
Look, I'm getting Flickr. Come back in an hour, we'll see what it looks like.
If you're not a peer, you've got no torrents.
Yeah, I thought that was the first IP phone he was pulling out.
Elsewhere, yes. In the internet land, in Remember When status, I'm trying to do my custom desktop, but obviously this is distracting. Craig and I did a little novelty or a vanity search on Wikipedia the other day, and I said, wait a minute, it came up with a hit for me. Labeled yeah. EDSI. I went, no, can't be. It says EDSI, or Enterprise Data Systems Incorporated, I know a couple of my listeners are locals, they'll remember this, was a computer bulletin board system located in Appleton, Wisconsin. The system was running on an IBM PS2 Model 55SX running SCO Xenix 232. Somebody knew their stuff to write this, and I don't know who wrote this, because I don't know the system handles on Wikipedia. The system used Starbase 2 BBS software and provided many local discussion rooms as well as full access to Usenet and email via dial-up UUCP connection. This was the Fox Valley, Wisconsin's first Unix-based BBS and provided many users with early internet access. Besides dial-up access, the system administrator, Chuck Tomasi, wait, where's the cheering? Often held meetings.
Hey, and there was much rejoicing.
Yay! Often held meetings at his house, where the system was located. The meetings featured a basement full of various computer terminals, where everyone could sit down at the terminal and log into the BBS. Once the dawn of the internet arrived, the low-cost dial-up internet access was available to everyone. People lost interest in connecting with these dial-up BBS systems. Now replaced by the World Wide Web, the BBS era remains a fond memory for many.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever wrote that article, thank you. We need to stick in a little accreditation for Scott Reynolds and his software.
Hey, and interesting enough, his basement full of various computer terminals was still there.
Until recently.
Until recently. Actually, I've got a story to tell about that.
Now I have a studio full of screens. It's the same computers. Physical space. You know what? It's the same physical space. For those who are gloriously watching the webcam, if you took this desk and replaced it with an 8-foot-long folding table with about 4 terminals this way and 4 terminals right under the camera, you would have a good visualization of the same space. Okay, take out the walls, the insulation, and furniture. It's about the same thing. Oh, carpeting.
You know, it's like volume. You know, you when you take so much out, water will come in. You know, fill in the.
That was a lot of horsepower to be pushing through a little 386SX processor, and it did it pretty dang well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty cool. So do you know any of those people that came to your meetings today?
I knew. Yeah. I mean, remember Greg Steiner, who was here a few days ago or a few months ago? Wow, that's been quick.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Greg was heavily involved with that.
Cool.
All right, let us move on to the media corner.
Wait, I got something to share.
Yes.
if you got a, if we got a moment. You know, yeah, play the What the Craig thing.
I don't have a graphic for your What the Craig.
It doesn't matter. Just go, just do it.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Let me tell you what makes me angry is we were cleaning out our attic space, and I just pulled out about 7 or 8 computers. I didn't realize they kind of snuck up on me over the years. I thought I had like 2 in there. So, needless to say, they're older machines, and I'm obviously not doing anything with them. So I took them out and I just ditched them. I couldn't stand it anymore. It's too much room. So that's why I was ragging on you a little bit about taking your stuff out. So I ditched all of the stuff. You know what's funny, though, is as I started pulling it out, I said, wait a minute. This computer was my cousin's. This one's computer belongs to somebody else. So I'm...
Oh, they're not all yours.
No, well, they were given to me as they bought a new computer and they wanted to get their stuff, their data off. And they, oh, well, do I need the computer back? Not really.
Mm-hmm,
well,
no.
So,
so you got some, like, Pentium 75 stocked away in there?
Yeah, it's a little bit newer than that. But, yeah, that, not all of them work and not all of them are in great shape. So, obviously, I'm not haven't touched them in years, so they're gone. But I did...
did you recycle them? Did you recycle them?
They're on the back porch right now. We're going to figure out where to recycle them at. So, yes.
Okay.
Those we're going to recycle. And I've got an old monitor that doesn't work. I don't even know why I kept it. It's an old tube monitor, CRT. I don't know why. I'm like I'm going to be able to resurrect it or something. So, it was a good monitor. But my point is, this is just a reminder, a friendly reminder. Whenever you go to do something like this, keep the hard drives.
Why?
Why? Credit card numbers on there, man. You know, people start.
Are you going to drill holes in them?
Actually, I'm going to go get a big sledgehammer. Me and Harrison are going to go destroy them.
Now, if it's an old IDE drive, I can understand that. But if you get some really, really old, like MFM drives, I don't think you need to worry about them too much.
They're not that old. But you know, there could be credit sensitive information on there. There could be, I don't know, you know, so. Just some personal information I don't want to get out. So I'd rather keep the hard drives and destroy that on my own, but recycle the rest of it.
Yes, retain all your old data. Hang on to your punch cards, kids. You don't know what credit card numbers were on there.
That's right. Your core those, memory.
Those I think you could just throw in the furnace.
So anyway, I was just making a note to tell everybody, keep the hard drives out of your old computers and do something else with it. Destroy them.
All right, we're going to come back with the Media Corner in just a little bit. We've got a Star Trek experience. We've got Family Guy from the YouTube and Atari adds some fun to their website. All that just after this.
Warning. The Imperial Command has detected unauthorized or incorrect facts in the podcast called Technorama. If you detect information that needs correction, or you want to have your say, call them on the listener line at 206-222-2428. Here's a nickel. Call someone who gives a shit.
I'm Steve Rickyberg from Geek Cred, the show that gives the inside scoop on everything geek at geekcred.net. And you're feeding your inner geek with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp on Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Craig, what part of the Media Corner have you led us to now?
Oh, let me tell you. If you didn't make it to the Star Trek Experience Museum, the Star Trek Experience
that
in
was
Las
good.
Vegas before it closed.
You can experience the Star Trek Experience. Yeah.
Do yourself a favor and visit the link in the show notes because you can now. You can. That's what they've done is they've taken, right before it closed, Paramount or was it Digital... what's the name of that company? Digital, blah, blah, blah. Hold on. Digital Properties. They commissioned full QuickTime VR scans of the whole thing. Everything.
But you can't read the little red labels on the walls like we did.
Not quite. No, but you can go everywhere we went, even under the shuttles where you can see the big deflector dish.
Yep. And the off, like the employee entrance was
yeah,
there.
Everything.
They even put in like sounds and things, except for the yes. people aren't in the pictures. You feel like you're really there. It is yes. kind of cool.
Yeah. And it reminds me very much of the old, I've talked about it on the show before, the old CD-ROM tour of the Enterprise D.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that thing? Where no. they had the QuickTime VRs of the bridge, and you could move around the bridge in different areas. You could see Data's quarters and all that kind of stuff. Same thing, I think. You know, you can go in the museum, you can go in Quark's bar, you can go wherever, and even see the Borg 4D stuff too.
That's pretty cool.
It is very cool. Very impressive.
And from Star Trek, we move on to Star Wars or something like it.
Jandra Hoppen. Love it. Hey, actually, you got this marked out, but let's go ahead and talk about it.
No, I don't. Do I?
Yeah.
No.
Struck
not
out.
Not the wave I'm looking at.
What the wave? What? No. What the wave?
YouTube. YouTube. Next one down. Third bullet item.
You what?
YouTube Family Die. Something, something, something. Dark oh. Side. Full trailer.
Right. Yeah, the Three something, something, there. Something. This is the next installment in the Family Guy Star Wars thing. It comes out on the 25th.
22nd.
22nd, excuse me, on the 22nd. So you can enjoy your Christmas holiday watching the next Star Trek, Star Wars thing.
If you're a Family Guy person.
Yeah. Do you not, you don't watch Family Guy, do you?
Once in a while. It's when? Not a, you know, not something I put on my TiVo religiously.
Or did you watch Blue Harvest?
No.
You didn't watch that one?
No. Was that the first one?
Yeah, that's where they parodied the whole Star Wars, the first movie, A New Hope. This is where they're doing the Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I kind of got that from the trailer.
Okay. Well, what you do is go to Netflix and add.
And then in the trailer, Stewie goes, "Spoiler alert, I am your father."
I know. I thought I was going to die laughing when he said that. "Spoiler alert, I am your father." Yes, it's very cool.
Moving on, we've got Atari adds an arcade to its webpage. Why sit at your computer working all day long when you can head over to the new Atari.com and play Yar's Revenge all day long?
Mm-hmm.
The new Atari.com represents phase one of the company's internet relaunch, allows fans of the company's works to browse the latest Atari titles, buy games from the Atari store, enter contests, and most importantly, play six classic arcade games for free as long as you'd like, unless your boss is watching. Six games currently on the suite are Asteroids Adventure, Battle Zone, Crystal Castles, Lunar Lander, and Yar's Revenge, each retrofitted with leaderboards so players can keep track of how much they suck at Crystal Castles.
Hey, I played Adventure the other day, man. That was kind of fun.
You remember how much fun it was to play an arcade game right after whoever owned the game reset the high scores?
Oh, yeah, because you could go, yeah, get the high score.
Yeah, for about a day.
Yeah. Unless, you'd have to unless find it was one's... me playing Tron, which my name was always at the top.
Uh-huh.
The original Tron, that was my game. Uh-huh. I owned it. Uh-huh. I pwned
uh-huh.
it.
Uh-huh.
I did. Yeah.
Keep dreaming there, buddy.
Hey, I've got my brother. I'm going to get my brother in here one day. He'll tell you.
Your brother? You get my brother after you, man.
He'll tell you, man. My dad can beat up your dad.
All right. I do have a What the Chuck, and I'm going to make this really quick.
Okay.
What the Chuck?
What's up with that?
Computer World writes this past week that now you can get Facebook, Gmail, and what was the other one? Something else on your TV. Sorry for the lack of detail on that.
YouTube. You can get YouTube on your TV.
Well, apparently there's no escaping Facebook. In fact, there's no escaping Gmail or YouTube either, because thanks to Logic Eastern... Why isn't my graphic on the screen playing catch up here? I moved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. The there. Amazon Kindle's for sale on...
According to a story published by Business Standard, Logic Eastern has introduced a new patented set-top boxes that allow you to access Facebook, Gmail, and YouTube from your television without a dedicated internet connection. Sounds good on the surface, right?
Sure.
Until you go and read on and it says, that it starts to download the content from these sites. Like, whoa, wait a minute. And not to your set-top box, to a secondary set of servers. Like, I don't want my Facebook and Gmail information on those secondary servers. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's what Opera actually does. The mobile browser, they actually use a... You actually are pulling information through their proxy, so you're kind of getting it from their server. I'll tell you, I've used it for some information, but yeah, it's a kind of funny when you're storing your stuff in somebody else's machine. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
The business standard story explains the process behind the technology. Nice editing on this. The technology is one word. Logic Eastern has set up a number of servers. Set up a number of servers which will download data from the aforementioned websites on behalf of the users. Thereafter, using already existing cellular technology, the servers will push the data to the consumer's TV sets. No thank you, and no thank you. I'll get my Gmail from my Gmail server. Although I'm putting a lot of faith in that. Hey, because I don't really know where that is, do I? Well,
I got news for you. If I'm crashing out in front of the TV, one, I'm not that interested in email at the moment. Two, I don't care if I see Facebook or Twitter on my TV. There is no way. I don't want to see Twitter on my TV.
Yeah, true. True. Twitter, TV is like requires almost no cognitive skills.
That's why. I don't want
well, so Twitter is, well, does.
I was going to say
Gmail
Twitter
does. Facebook does. YouTube does.
Does Twitter?
So, yeah, I can.
Wait a minute. Have you read Twitter? Does it really take that much cognitive skills?
Yeah, because there's a lot of things go by and you go, oh, I'd like to see that. Oh, let's go read that. You know, I follow a lot of links. Joke,
but yes, I see your point. Well, you know, I don't really care. It's like, the Xbox 360, I think, came out with a software update, let you do Twitter and Facebook. No, I'm not going to sit there and use the controller to try and type out a 140 character message.
I can barely get my Wi-Fi SSID into the TiVo using that Ouija thing. Never. No, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at the Geek Library. Yeah. You like my graphic for this one?
Let me see. Oh, looks like an article to me.
Up first in the Geek Library, we've got a real-time rendering of a what if video.
Mm-hmm.
Says, what if the Earth had rings like Saturn?
Yeah.
And they go through a whole bunch of graphics based on latitude and the time of day. And, you know, while this first looks like some crazy cross-gender thing, like what if a man had breasts?
What if the Earth had breasts?
The graphics are such... Stay with me here for a sec.
Okay, I'm gonna try.
The graphics that they use in this video are accurate based on the latitude and the time of day and whatnot. How you would see them, say, in New York at night. And the thought I had was, wouldn't that make an interesting short story about how history would be different? I mean, people would not have I know this is a myth that Columbus did not sail to prove that the Earth was not flat. In fact, most people did not think the Earth was flat at that time. But, you know, earlier in history, go to like 3000 BC, did they know the size of the Earth? Did they know the shape of the Earth? If you looked up and you saw this huge arc across the sky, okay, and then you went to a different town and the arc changed based on where it was in the sky and whatnot, there'd be no doubt of what shape and the size of the Earth. They would have figured that out a long, long time ago.
Oh, no.
And it would have made for a much different history.
You could have gone on top of a mountain and seen the curvature of the Earth. And just seeing something like that in the sky, it would have been a god or something. I don't know. You know.
I just thought that was so cool that...
Yeah.
My thought was, how would this have affected history if we had rings around the Earth?
Oh, sure. I mean, I can imagine, like we talked about, like I just said, I was kind of half kidding, but, you know, what if they did see that in the sky and, you know, thought it was the evidence of God or, you know, some kind of deity or something. I don't know.
I'm sure, yeah, they would have been given some deity status like the sun and the moon were in many cultures.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it would have proven anybody the curvature of the earth, but it would have been, it would have looked cool.
I think it would have proven something.
It may have been, yeah. If there's something in the sky, it would have, no, that's pretty cool though.
All right, our second thing up in the Geek Library is the 10 best celebrity computer ads from the 1980s.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And we're not going to play any of them for you, but we will let you know how they turned out. Did you watch them all?
Yes, I think I've seen most of them, especially Jack Black pushing the Atari.
I did not recognize Jack Black. Number 10, Dick Cavett for Apple, and he gets kind of sexist on this one. So you're a housewife. Yeah, you know, you do a lot of chores and things. And she goes, "Oh, yeah,
I can monitor my stock values."
Right, yeah, and gold futures and things.
Like, yeah,
that was amazing. And Jack Black pushing the Atari Pitfall.
Yep.
We'll ignore King Kong Bundy for the Head Start computer.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. Hey,
do you remember the George Plimpton on Intellivision?
Yeah, because I kept trying to tell him through the TV that Atari wins or something.
Phil Atari Hartman did a commercial for Activision Ice Hockey. I think my favorite was Bill Cosby for the Texas Instruments.
This is it.
Yeah, this is the one.
The one.
Right. I like the caption. What can I say? The man makes a computer about as exciting as a pudding pop.
Well, yeah.
And software. Oh, he's got lots of software. You run the software and it goes in here. Alan Alda for the Atari writer.
He makes it sound exciting too.
He makes. I think probably didn't even have search and replace, but you could move your cursor and change entire words.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kevin Costner for Apple. It was a typical 80s think different kind of ad.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll be home in time for breakfast, honey. Like, well, there's a job I want.
He's been up for 8 hours jogging with his dog. Now he checked he went to work for 5 minutes and he's ready to go back and breakfast.
And he was working on Alisa.
That's right. Yeah, he was.
So that was kind of cool to see in a commercial. Mm-hmm. And, our old buddy Bill Shatner endorsing the Commodore VIC-20. It's got a keyboard, not like game machines.
Yeah, which is, you know, what you use the Commodore for 90% of the time.
And the number one was John Cleese for Compaq. He boots a portable 2 off the table to endorse the Desk Pro. And I like that. He's totally non-technical. You know, he says... And then the portable 3 with its gas plasma display, this guy comes in here, he goes, it's got all this stuff, blah, 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 blah.
He's speaking really fast.
And he shoots with a bow and arrow. Boring.
Yeah. Hey, I had one of those compact portable 3s.
Oh, I
sorry.
Don't hit the microphone.
I'm sorry about that.
It's bad for the mic.
No, I did have one of those portable 3s. I liked it.
It's bad for the show.
Yeah. Bad for me. But yeah, I will say that the John Cleese ones were very entertaining.
They were, and they should run more ads like that.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, before we wrap this up,
yes.
Did you want to ask a question to the listener that you spoke to me on the phone today about?
Oh, we never speak anymore.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, I'm shopping for a large flat screen TV for the family for Christmas, HD stuff, you know, LCD, plasma, whatever it happens to be. And a certain large retail firm that shall remain nameless has a bundle with an HDMI cable, surge protector, power strip, cable innie outie thing, and screen cleaner. They've got two bundles. One's like $80 and one's $135. And the HDMI cable by itself is about $70. And next to it, I saw a $20 HDMI cable, but it didn't have the gold contacts and whatnot. And I said, hey, what is the... I didn't ask them, but when I got home, I called Craig. Well, actually, he called me and I asked him. I said, what kind of HDMI cable did you get? I mean, is there really any difference to the non-videophile, audiophile kind of person between the $6 HDMI cable that Craig got at Bob's Bargain Basement or the...
Actually, it was more like it was even a clothing store. It was
or the electronic stuff. The Goodwill. The $80 monster gold-plated cable, or just get the $3 chuck at Trader Joe's.
Yeah. See, everybody in the chat room's already chiming in. It's a digital signal. What are you losing? You know, it's not like one. It's not a 100-foot cable.
Yeah. Yeah, six, if that.
Yeah. So anyway, let us know. I see the chat room. I see rip off and get the cheap cable. It's a digital signal. Get the $12 one. You know, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, actually, you can order one online and kind of have it. The delivery correspond with your TV delivery date.
That's true.
Yep.
And I did pick up the also special, what is it, the Samsung BD1600?
Yeah. Now you just run your little cable over to your TV and an Ethernet cable.
I got a Blu-ray player, but I don't have anything to play it on. But I will soon.
You can still hook it up to your TV, right?
Don't have an HDMI TV.
You don't have, it's got other inputs on the back. It's got S-Video and...
I don't have the TV yet. We're still shopping for that.
No, the TV you got. I'm saying you can hook it up.
RCAs.
Huh? What's that?
RCA inputs.
Yeah, it's got RCA and the back of that has a S-Video, so...
Yeah. What TV do you think I have? The Samsung has other inputs. Yeah, but I wouldn't be able to play any Blu-ray stuff on it because I don't have an HD TV.
You can still play it. You just wouldn't see that.
Yeah, I know, but I've already got three other DVD players in the house, so I don't need to bust that out before Christmas.
What? Man, where is the geek in you? I would have that thing out in like 2 minutes. Actually, that's what I did.
You know who would like that, though? You know who would like that is my daughter, Lisa, because she's always bugging me to use Netflix Watch It Now feature.
Yeah.
Or the Play Now. Because you can only do that from the primary account. She's got a secondary queue. And you can't do the Play Now thing through the secondary queues, which I don't understand entirely at all.
Yeah,
that is Netflix.
That is a problem. So I've actually got it on mine. I think I'd have to give Kim the activation code, let her go log in and do it.
Yeah. Well, if I did this through the Samsung DVD player, that'd be even cooler.
That's what I'm
saying. So Donna and I are still trying to figure out what TV is going where and what are we going to do with the old DVD player and all this kind of stuff, but
I will tell you this: I did when I was TV shopping. I liked the Weston House TVs at the time, and I liked the Samsungs.
Thank you for that product.
Just my personal preference
lead thing.
Yeah, just what I liked. Hey, I'm just telling you, man.
All right, that takes us to the end of the show. It's a wrap, right?
Is right. Let's wrap it up.
We appreciate your support. You've given us your time. You've taking us to the movies. No, wait.
You brought us into your home. We laughed, we cried, but you became a part of us.
If you have any feedback, you want to tell us what your favorite video games are, or old favorite 80s commercials, or you find something useful and just want to comment on it, 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428 is how to get a hold of us on the standard phone lines. Technorama@chuckchat.com will also send us an email, or if you want to attach an MP3 to that, that would be wonderbar. You can find us on Twitter at Technorama. It's got Marv, Chuck, Craig. We're all watching that. It's kind of like a group think tank.
Yeah. Somebody is a tank, more like.
It's a tank. Yeah. It's an old fish tank.
Yeah.
There's also a tip jar if you're feeling generous. Craig has gratuitously put that back on the front page. You can do one-time payments or monthly micropayments. We appreciate those of you who are donating. Thank you very much. Those continue to help pay the bandwidth bills and whatnot, the ongoing costs. And we have some upcoming costs for strategic plans that are coming up. And we'll make those known when we have them a little more nailed down. But 2010 is going to see some improvements around here that I think everybody's going to enjoy.
Yeah, the calendar.
The what?
That's what's changing. Oh,
the insurance man. I got to get a hold of him.
Yeah. That's right.
Want to give our thanks to the people who donate their time and talent to keeping Technorama going. Mad Marv, as we mentioned, for keeping all his great blog content during the week. If you're not going to the website, chuckchat.com, go there. There's lots of good stuff, including the Technorama blog.
Ustream, who provides our modest live streams on Sunday nights. If you're around, find out how the Sausage Factory works and see all the cool graphics. We come up with new things every week. I'm having a lot of fun with this. I know it sounds like I get stuck once in a while on it, because I do.
Yeah.
And our chat room from freenode.net. Thank you very much to all those people for the services they provide. If you're not using them, we recommend that you at least check them out. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. There's some good podcasts over there you might want to listen to, and the occasional blog entry. We've got a Christmas special coming up, right, Craig?
No, oh yeah. That's actually with the Fit Guys. It's the Christmas. It's a Christmas story, you know, kind of spoof. I'm not going to say ripoff. Spoof. So, yeah,
we did a Christmas story once upon a time, didn't we?
Yeah, I am a Christmas story.
I'm thinking of a Christmas Carol. Everybody did.
Yeah,
Christmas
we did a
Carol.
Christmas Carol. I was the first one out. And that was.
We're also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. Go check them out. Lots of good stuff there and more showing up every day. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101, everybody.
That's it. It's done. I can't believe it. My mind is boggling.